This is Sell Without Selling, Episode 2.
Hey there, this is Kelly Holmes, founder and CEO of Team Referral Network and Team Franchise Corp. If you want to learn the 6- and 7-figure science to success, significantly increase your revenue, and learn how to successfully build professional relationships, you should be listening to the Sell Without Selling podcast with my good friend, Stacey O'Byrne.
If you're ready to get out of your own way to follow the 7-figure science of success, then welcome to Sell Without Selling. Tune in with renowned international speaker Stacey O'Byrne as she shows you how mastering relationships, achieving the proper mindset, and attaining the necessary motivation will catapult you away from failure and onto your journey to greatness. And now, here is your host, Stacey O'Byrne.
Hi, I'm Stacey O'Byrne. And I get to hang out with successful entrepreneurs, business owners, sales professionals, and some of the top business influencers and thought leaders in the world. You see, I believe that it's important to learn the art and science of how to sell without selling, and that is the only way to achieve 6- and 7-figure success. So, if you want to be a success magnet, attract quality people in your network, and significantly increase your sales and ultimately your success, then you're in the right place, because this is the Sell Without Selling podcast. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Sell Without Selling. I'm your host, Stacey O'Byrne, and today I'm speaking with a really good friend of mine, Kelly C. Holmes. Kelly is a rarity in California, a true native. She was born in Los Angeles and raised in Laverne, where she has been a lifelong resident. She has been married 33 years to the same man, and she is the mom of 2 awesome teenage daughters. An entrepreneur since she was 11, a wild child of the late 70s and early 80s, who often found herself at odds with those she worked for. She knew early on she was destined to be her own boss. She is the CEO and founder of Team Referral Network and its sister company, Team Franchise Corporation. Team has opened hundreds of chapters with thousands of members and has multiple franchised markets located throughout the United States. Kelly founded Team in 2002, and today Team Referral Network is the second largest business networking referral organization in the world. She is the author of Cracking the Business Networking Code, a contributing author to the bestsellers Savvy Women, Revving Up for Success, and Elevate, a team collaborative book. In her spare time, she continues working on her upcoming book, God, How the Hell Did I Get Here? Little known fact about Kelly, she has argued a case in front of the United States Court of Appeals for the 9th Circuit and won, even though she isn't an attorney. She is a child of God, wife, mom, CEO, frequent keynote speaker, regular radio, webcast, and podcast guest, and she travels the country teaching on networking and relationship marketing, and I'd like to add she is a dear, dear personal friend. I am so excited for you to hear today's conversation. Kelly's going to offer an immense amount of value. This is going to be an awesome conversation, and I'm excited to get into it. And really quick, if you're a business owner, entrepreneur, sales professional, and you haven't hit the level of success that you've wanted or needed, or if you're stuck and needing a pivot in your business, in your success, or you just want more, and you understand the importance of having a coach to help identify the blind spots, increase accountability, and help with success strategies to take you, your business, your income, and your success to the next level. If this sounds like something for you, then head over to pivotpointadvantage.com/I-want-success. That's pivotpointadvantage.com/I-want-success. There's a quick application there that will lead to a phone call with me to see if we're a great fit for each other. All right, enough of that. Let's get into it now with Kelly.
Kelly, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Stacey. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm super excited about your new podcast. This is great.
I am beyond excited to have you on the show. You know, I've known you for a while, And I consider you one of my closest dear friends, both personally and professionally. And I'm really excited for the listeners to get to know you because I respect you as a human and I respect you as a business person. And I really, in my heart of hearts, believe that people have a lot to learn from you. So I have a question for you. What's something people seem to misunderstand about you?
Oh, whoa. Okay. Let's jump right in.
Yeah. I'm ripping the Band-Aid right
off. Let's just jump right in on that. Well, first of all, I have to say the feeling is mutual. We have a mutual fan base with each other here. So thank you so much for those kind words. I appreciate it. Let's see. Can you repeat that question again?
I can, because I told you I was going to go right in. What's something people seem to misunderstand about you?
That I'm a pushover sometimes. Okay. I think that I have worked very hard in my life to be in recovery. I'm a recovering control freak. and so I used to come at things very hard and very rigid and, you know, in a defense mode and certainly wanting to micromanage everything. And as the softer side emerged from me after I had children, as the softer side emerged from me as I became wiser and learned that I was not serving myself well or those that were closest to me by being a control freak, I really learned that kindness and really expressing a lot of love and joy in my life, and that spills over into my business life, of course, lends people to tell me a lot of times, you're so sweet and you're so nice. And it also has put me into the position where people felt like they could take advantage of that. And so it's a, I think, you know, probably something that's misunderstood about me is I am super even, nice, you know, there for you, generous to a fault, loyal to a fault until. Mm-hmm. And then when that until is crossed, I don't want to use a Shark Tank Kevin-ism, but I mean, you could be dead to me after that. Okay. Right. You could be dead to me after that. And I certainly have a forgiving spirit as well. I'm a first chance, second chance girl, but the third or fourth one, you start pushing me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I operate off the 3-strike rule in baseball. Yep. You know, first strike, you've got my attention. Second strike, now I'm going to be watching you. Third strike, you're dead to me. You're out of here.
You're out. Mm-hmm. Yep. I hear you.
So you brought up the control freak thing, and and I know I shared with you a rundown of how the show was going to go. And you know, I know being an entrepreneur and a business owner that we have so many spinning plates that trying to micromanage and control things can be very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. How did being a control freak, since you're a recovering one, how did being a control freak impact the growth of your company?
I must say, I really think it propelled my company forward faster by being a control freak. I think one of the things as an entrepreneur, and I'm going to say at least initially, okay, you know my story. There's a lot of things that were going on early on in Team Referral Network's history that were really meant to be and were a huge distraction to my business. Mm-hmm. And really for me, trying to keep my sanity during that time, keep the company moving forward, I really just had to do it all and take control of it all. And I was very fortunate that the people who were surrounding me at the time, and many of who are still with me today, understood that and helped me with my journey. That was something that was difficult at best during that time. So it served me well early on. I will say not so much in my personal life. Now, you know, I'm going on 34 years of marriage here, 37 years, all with the same man, just so we clarify that for the whole audience. Yeah, how many different men during those years of marriage. But it did not serve my husband and I's relationship that well. So I really had to learn to not be a control freak then. But in business, initially, it helped. But when I started my recovery from my control freak itis, okay, I learned that empowering people was a huge gift, not only to them, but also to me. And it ultimately is a gift to my business. And I've had to learn to, just like what you do with kids, you know, when you teach them how to do something, they don't do something necessarily the way you would do something, but they still get it done. Mm-hmm. I've had to learn that is okay, that people don't need to do it the way I do it in order to get it done, and that all we're looking for is the same result. Mm. And so being a recovering control freak now serves me much better.
That's phenomenal. You know, I believe that we find excellence in people and we look at people who have achieved what it is we want to achieve, and we elicit and extract from them thought processes, behaviors that they possess that we can apply to self to help us move forward. I'm really curious, what inspires you? What drives you?
Well, let's see. There's going to be a few things that inspire me. You already know this about me, but my path in life is 100% based on my faith. Mm-hmm. And I literally put everything into God's hands and trust Him. I know I got to do my role and my part, but I really am inspired to keep doing good work every single day. And that's kind of my prayer in the morning. Every morning I spend time with God and I chatting and sharing with Him what I want to, do today is what He wants me to do. And so mm-hmm. I'm always hopeful that that lines up. And let's face it, it doesn't always line up. Okay. But when it lines up, it's pretty magical. And so daily I'm inspired to keep doing what I'm doing. I draw inspiration from the members of Team Referral Network and the entrepreneurs and the business professionals that I get to interact on a daily basis. Right now, we're in some pretty challenging times, mm-hmm. and the adaptability and the flexibility and the spirit that I have witnessed in these past few weeks in terms of people moving on with their business and still reaching for the next level and helping others and supporting others. Wow, does that inspire me? Just to continue to do better and to continue to serve them. It is very motivational to be along with a superhuman group of people and see what they can accomplish and be along for the ride with that. And I know you share that with me. So yeah, that's really what inspires me and motivates me.
I love it. So you brought up the members of Team Referral Network. Is there one specific one that just touched you to the core? Is there a member in Team Referral Network that had a success or something that just touched you to the core?
Oh, there's been a lot of those stories over the years. We're going on 18 years now. On a pretty consistent basis, what I have found is so rewarding is to watch somebody, and there's been many of them over the years.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, I come into a meeting scared to death. Okay. I don't know if you were scared to death, but scared to death, of standing up and giving a 1-minute commercial, of doing the thought of standing up and doing a 10-minute presentation in front of an entire group of people would literally send them into the bathroom ready to throw up. And to watch them blossom into a great speaker for their business. It doesn't mean they're necessarily going to go start a speaking career, but a great speaker and representation of their business to be able to be more comfortable in that environment. That's always been great. But something happened to me one time that I had no idea would have the effect on me or the effect on the two people that were talking about it. But I was a guest on a radio webcast show several years ago. On the radio webcast was a director for Team Referral Network at the time, and one of her members from one of the chapters that she worked with, and they were interviewing me about the community outreach part of what we do at Team Referral Network. And so for your listeners who don't know, in every single chapter of Team, we donate a membership to a local nonprofit or charity that benefits children or families in some way. And our goal is to connect this local nonprofit with a great group of people in their community. We donate the membership. We teach them how to network. The team chapter rallies behind the cause. And the community and the members are all better off as a result of this interaction and opportunity. Mm-hmm. And that's been with Team from day one. And the community outreach element of Team is near and dear to my heart. But I was sitting there on this radio webcast with these two women. And the two women thanked me for the work that they got to do with the nonprofit of this chapter that this one woman belonged to. Mm-hmm. And it was a nonprofit where they got to take these young children, their particular girls were 6 years old, to a Target that had closed for the day, and they got to take them shopping for their Christmas presents.
Wow.
And they went around the store individually, all around the store, all being supervised by the nonprofit, but got to go all the way around the store and picking what they wanted. And they said it had absolutely changed their life. They had not realized that they had wanted to give back in that way, didn't know they would ever give back in that way, but the experience of working with that nonprofit and seeing those children's hearts swell during that particular outing and the good that they were doing and how that all interacted with them promoting their business was something that had touched their lives profoundly. And the one woman went on to become a minister. I'm not going to say it was because of what we did there, but I got to think of the way she talked about how much it had touched her to be able to be of service that way. And she wouldn't have had that opportunity or done that had it not been for her being part of Team Referral Network. Blew me away because I knew we could help nonprofits. I didn't think we were going to help the members go down a different path of service right. in their life. And so I think that that's got to be one of the most rewarding and wonderful times of things, of the many wonderful stories that have come out of Team Referral Network.
You know, one of my favorite things about what it is you do is you create a space for entrepreneurs to congregate and help each other. We have very like prospective clientele. We have very like avatars. For that reason, you and I meld very well together professionally. And when I came into Team, starting my company, Pivot Point. You know, I had just built my seven-figure business. Things happened, you know, and I found myself with 16 cents in the bank and wrapped into a lawsuit because of a business partner, right?
Right.
So when I came to Team, I had hope, I had dreams, I had a passion, and I had no money. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very quickly of being surrounded by like-minded people that I got introduced to some of the greats. I mean, a member introduced me to Les Brown, who wrote the foreword to my book, who, you know, because of it, it propelled me on large platform stages. I've been introduced to CEOs of direct sales company and spoke at their events and become master trainers. It's just the environment that you've created. If people truly learn how to leverage it, they can change their lives in a heartbeat. And I'm curious as to what inspired you to start Team.
I have kind of that classic entrepreneur story where wanting to build a better mousetrap. Mm-hmm. You know, let's face it, networking groups have been around for 35, 40, I don't know how many years now, more years than I care to count. But it was definitely back in the 80s, a great decade, but let's face it, it was quite a while ago. And so obviously I had had experience with other networking organizations, other exclusive category networking organizations like Team Referral Network early on in my entrepreneur life. And that started with my husband and I owning a painting contracting company that we still have today. And mm-hmm. when I was learning to build and grow that, we were introduced to networking and networking groups. What I found, you know, after my experience of being out there in the world of networking and growing a business this way, that there might be some things that would be missing from those types of groups. And mm-hmm. for me, when the time came to start Team Referral Network, the first two things that popped into my mind that needed improvement, so A, that kind of building the better mousetrap, was to really jump on the technology bandwagon. Let's just look back when we started Team in 2002. Of course, we had the internet, but let's look at where websites have come, you know, how far right. they've come from that yeah. time frame to where we're at now. So really being able to embrace technology, search engine optimization was new, you know, having really colorful websites, and for us, our individual member profiles to be able to promote and grow their business. These were all things that we got to immediately jump on. And that really, quite frankly, put us ahead in terms of what the competition was doing. And then our community outreach, which I've already mentioned mm-hmm. here, was something that none of these other networking groups were doing at the time. And it really gave us an opportunity to put heart into every single chapter of Team, mm-hmm. almost a greater cause or reason to be together than just our own businesses. And I felt that was something that was definitely missing. So being inspired, you know, I started Team Referral Network because I decided I wanted to stop working for other people. Mm-hmm. I wanted to stop working for other people. And if I wanted to stop working for other people, and by the way, I just had my, you know, children. So my second child had just been born. So I had two babies under the age of two when I started Team Referral Network. And it was I knew I was going to be a working woman, but it was like, if I'm going to be away from these beautiful little girls and work, I better be doing something I love. And I knew what I'd love to do, and that's connecting entrepreneurs to others, really teaching them how to build the right relationships and grow their business in a more meaningful way, a more fun way, and certainly I feel, and I know you share a similar philosophy, a more productive way. And so that's kind of the classic story there.
No, I love it. I absolutely love it. So I'm curious, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, right?
Yes.
If you could give your teenage self any advice, what would you say to yourself?
Oh, Lord, there are so many lessons there. So many lessons. Okay, so we'll start with, I would have become more financially savvy earlier. Okay. So that's things like, you know, learning to know what the numbers are. Okay. To understand the numbers. You know, I was taught how to balance my checkbook by my parents because they were good parents, but I wasn't really necessarily taught don't run up a credit card, you know. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So, you know, that, so certainly financial lessons and being more comfortable with money and finances. Would be something that I would tell my younger self to really get with that program, because really it took me years, and I might even hazard to say decades, to really learn how to love the financial element of being in business and truthfully the financial element of life. And so that would be one. I might tell my younger self to not party as much as I partied during that time. Okay. You know, not, you know, the good news is I lived through it, and so did all my friends at the time. So that was good. But it might be something where, as a mother of two teenage daughters now, you know, I might give myself that advice. I would certainly let myself know that I needed to spend more time with my dad, because in a few years he would be gone. And I wasn't expecting that. He died in my late 20s, and I wasn't ready for him to go, that's for sure. And we had no regrets between us. We made sure of that, and it was a great relationship. But I would let my younger self know that through all of the ambition, and I had a lot of it, through all that ambition and the, you know, seizing of life, which I did at the time, I'd also spend even more time with him, and that would have been very meaningful for me.
So one of my favorite questions to ask successful business owners and entrepreneurs is, who's your hero?
I have a lot of heroes too. My mom's a big hero of mine. She's been gone for 10 years now, but she did live to be almost 85 years old. And we got to spend a lot of time together, And she was a working woman back in the 70s, when I was 60s and 70s, as a small child and into my teenage years. She worked. She went to school to become a court reporter. And she still came home. And it's that song, you know, she literally, you know, got the bacon and fried it up in the pan. You know, your listeners are probably too young to remember that, that commercial. She could bring home the bacon and fry it up in the pan. And she was still a homemaker, you know, on top of all of it, and came home and cooked dinner every night and, you know, baked on occasion and cleaned the house and took care of us kids. And my older brother was developmentally disabled, and she fought and was a champion for him and made sure that he got everything he needed out of life to excel in his world. And she took care of him up until, you know, the day that she died. And, you know, she did all of this. And this was a woman who was raised during the Depression, who lost her first husband in World War II, who had extreme sadness and hardship in her life, who made her way to California in a station wagon with my dad, with all of their worldly possessions, and landed in Anaheim, California, and went to work for Disneyland before it even opened. And, you know, I mean, she was just this phenomenal woman. And I grew up during the time with women's liberation just being on the forefront of things. And she 100% stood behind me when I was in third grade and insisted on wearing pants to school when they only let girls wear dresses to school back then. Even in a public school, we were told we could only wear dresses, and I wanted pants, and she supported me, and I wore those pants under my dress every single day, and she was fine with it. And when I came home with purple hair, she was fine with that. And when I, you know, and so she was, and don't let me paint the picture though, that she wasn't a tough disciplinarian and grounded my ass many, many, many times. Okay? But she is my hero and I miss her and I will always love her, but she really stood up in my life as being somebody I really looked up to.
Oh, I can see where you get your character, your fortitude, and your stickability.
Mm-hmm. Might also be my irascibility, stubbornness, and a few other qualities as well.
You can say that. I can't. So I'm curious. You're surrounded by entrepreneurs, business owners, solopreneurs, sales professionals. What's the best advice you can give someone who hasn't achieved the success that they want yet?
To stick to it. You just talked about stick to itness. You know, they just hang in there. I constantly see people giving up too soon. And I understand the wanting to, you know, I mean, I absolutely understand that. It's not anything that I don't think any entrepreneur who has stuck to it and achieved a certain place in their life hasn't felt before. But if they would just hang in there a little bit longer, okay, and do the do, you know, you cannot escape the work that needs to be done in order to be successful. And people sometimes think it's easy to be an entrepreneur. Like I oftentimes, my daughter is starting college in the fall and her major is business marketing and her minor is entrepreneurism and her goal is to own her own business. And so she wants to go to school to learn how to run a business, own a business, market and grow a business. And there's part of me that almost hurts for her. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because my husband and I were entrepreneurs from the time we met. You know, truthfully, my story goes back to being an entrepreneur by the time I was 11 years old, you know, and I was babysitting and I was taking care of the elderly in our neighborhood and I would run to the store on my bike and I would, you know, all these different things. You know, being an entrepreneur is in my heart and in my DNA. My husband, Michael, owns a painting contracting company. We started it together right when we first met in 1983. Good Lord. And so, you know, but it's hard. Okay. It's hard and it takes a lot of work and you've got to be willing. It's not a 40-hour work week. You know, it's not even close to a 40-hour work week.
Okay? No, it's kind of like a 100-hour work week.
It easily can be a 100-hour work week. And you never leave it behind. You don't get to close the door and walk away and come back the next morning like an employee does. People give up too easily, but people also don't understand that you got to do the do. There's a lot of work to be done in order to be successful. And there isn't anybody I know that has achieved success in their life that hasn't had to do the exact same thing.
So, you know, the one thing I wholeheartedly believe, because look, we don't want to scare people off who want to be entrepreneurs, business owners, solopreneurs, sales professionals. For me, it's a way of life. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I work at all. And if you look at my schedule, that would be what people always think I do. And I have this belief that we build our business around the life that we want. Most people make the mistake of building their life around the business that they want. Yes. It's all about finding that harmony, right? You mentioned do the work. It seems to be a common theme with successful business people and entrepreneurs when I talk with them. They're always like, the advice I can give is they got to do the do. The advice I can give is they got to do the work. Can you elaborate on that? Share with them what you mean by that, please.
You know, one thing is you've got to get a handle on yourself. Okay. So, I mean, it's a big part of it. I wish if I go back to that younger version myself and give some more advice right now, I would give more advice on discipline, you know, really making sure that you're disciplined. And so I think, you know, some of the things that need to be done is one, you need to learn how to really master yourself, master how you spend your time, you know, what you're spending your time on, how you're spending your time on it. I think that you need to learn. I have seen this over and over again. I may or may not be guilty of it myself. And that is, you know, I see people setting up their business. It's about the branding and it's about the color of this and it's the placement of this on the material and everything. And it's like, no, it's about getting out there and selling. Okay. It's about getting out there and finding the people in your world, the companies, the people, whoever your client, member, patient, customer is, finding that group of people and getting them to understand how valuable you are to them and them buying what it is that you are offering.
Yeah.
It's not about whether your logo is perfect or not. And so, but I find people, you know, they're far more, they honestly, they take more money and invest it into branding than more money investing into marketing. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's going to get you sales? Okay. Your logo, because it's the right color, it isn't, you know? And so it's really, you know, it's those steps that are so important and placing importance and priority in the right sequence, I think is important.
Can you talk about how someone who hasn't accomplished what they've wanted to accomplish or hasn't created what they want to create, how do they stay motivated during that frustration?
Personally, I have always daydreamed a lot. Okay. Mm-hmm. So other people might call it visioning, you know, and, you know, but I don't care whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. But for me, I learned how things could be manifested very early in my life if I daydreamed. Okay. And if I really envisioned how things would be if, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of my first true memories of this was when I was 18 years old, and I may have been a bit of a wild child. And so we're talking. And so we're talking 1981. And I told my parents, I'm moving out the day after I turn 18. And they were like, yeah, right. You know, and I would sit there, and I mean, I really thought about this from the time I was 13, okay? But in that last year of still having a curfew at 10 o'clock, you know, at midnight on the weekends, 10 o'clock during the week, you know, thinking, man, this is not for me. I want to be out there, you know. I don't want this curfew. I don't want this. I'm moving out, you know. I'm moving out, okay? So I kept telling myself, I'm moving out. I'm moving out. Now, mind you, I was barely making over minimum wage, and we can't even discuss what that was back then. What, $6? I don't remember what minimum wage was back then.
It was six when I worked, so I don't know.
I'm older than you are, so it was low, okay? It was low. And in my mind, I was moving to a nicer place than my parents' place, okay? Mm. In my mind, I just kept visioning this. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I kept really focused on it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, the day after I turned 18, I went from a lovely, modest home on 10th Street in Laverne that today, you know, would sell for $500,000 probably in our market. Okay. But it wasn't 1500 square feet. It was three bedrooms. It was built in the 50s, you know. Okay. And I moved into this beautiful home that was near a golf course that was a tri-level home. And it was four bedrooms and it was about 2,500 square feet. Okay. Mm-hmm. And my best friend and I moved in there with this other people who said, hey, you want to come live here and be our roommates? And I realized, oh my God, this is exactly what I'd been thinking about. And so I learned early on that I could daydream. I could sit here and think hard enough about how I wanted Team Referral Network to work, how I wanted to have children. I have friends who joke about me who will say, if Kelly wants it, she'll get it. She just always makes things happen. And she's done that since they've known me. And so when I was a woman in my late 30s who had one ovary, and I'm probably giving too much information right now, everybody, but I'm here I am in my late 30s. And I said, okay, Mike, it's time to have kids. You know, like we forgot to have children. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm 37 years old or 36 years old, whatever it was at the time. And we had decided to wait to have kids. So we're 14 years into our marriage at this point. It's like, I think it's time to have kids. And I went to the doctor and he says, hey, you know, don't plan on this happening anytime soon. A woman of your age with only one ovary and this and that, you know, it'll probably take you a few years. Bam, pregnant with Riley. Okay. I mean, literally, bam, pregnant with Riley. So
that's
Riley,
how strong your mind is.
Yep. Fast forward 8 months later, I said, you know, time to have another one. Okay. After 8 months after Riley was born, time to have another one. I'm in my late 30s. You know, you're in your 40s. We need to chop, chop. Went back to the doctor. Don't plan on this happening as soon as it happened last time. You got lucky last time. And I walked out of his door and I got pregnant with Charlie. Okay.
I didn't realize they were Irish twins.
They are, well, not quite, because they are 18 months apart in age.
Okay. There you go.
But okay, I'm telling you, you know, it's always been that way. When I want it, I get it. And let's just face it, it is because I go after it. And so you need to go after it.
Mm-hmm. You need to go well.
I'd always envision myself, by the way, it doesn't always go 100% right, because my vision for my children was two boys, and God laughed and gave me two girls. And then, of course, it turned out to be the greatest blessings of my life. So
that's awesome. So I believe the power of our mind is, when you can see it, you can learn from it. And when you learn from it, you can either fix it, apply it, or grow it. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. As long as your focus is specific and avoids ambiguity, there's a lot of strength in daydreaming, in picturing it. As I know, and as our listeners had heard when we introduced you, you own Team Referral Network. You own a category exclusive professional business networking organization. You specialize in referral marketing. So I highly recommend that each of you pick up your pen now, because I'm going to move Kelly through helping you guys achieve success in networking, because, you know, the foundation of the show is sell without selling. And there's a lot of philosophies and a lot of principles that allow us to sell without selling. And networking, for me, is one of the major philosophical points, one of the major elements. So what is networking to you, Kelly?
You know, networking to me has always been connecting with people, you know, regardless of the environment, because I'm a natural connector. You know, for me, I don't meet a person, no matter what the environment that I'm meeting them in, whether it's in my personal life or my professional life, that my brain doesn't immediately start firing on all cylinders saying, who does this person need to know, meet? Who do I need to introduce them to? What could I do to help them? It's just the way that I'm hardwired. So networking is just a very natural extension of that for me, where I can connect with people and I can connect others to other people in order to hopefully propel them forward and our relationships forward. So networking to me is just connecting. A lot of people have different, you know, ways of looking at networking and different ideas of what it is. But to me, it's making the connection.
That's fantastic. So tell me about a time when a connection to someone led to a big opportunity for you.
You know, it's all funny because I'm literally doing the filing through my brain trying to think of it. One of the things that has been a meaningful relationship in my life and certainly has led to many, many opportunities over the years is the very first member of Team Referral Network, and his name is Wayne Hurley. Mm-hmm. And Wayne and I met through networking. Okay. And we took that connection and then turned it into the process of building rapport and then building a relationship and, you know, ultimately leading to referring each other business and helping each other out. And Wayne is a very close advisor of mine for all of these years. And now has for many years been a very, very good friend, he and his wife. And, you know, I've seen his whole family grow up. But that initial connection with Wayne is very interesting, because long before Team Referral Network was born, that connection was made and that relationship was developed. But when we started Team Referral Network, the very first person to join Team to write a check, okay, to actually call it seed money, okay, was Wayne. Okay. And then Wayne, of course, has brought many people into Team Referral Network over the years. He's sent me business. I've sent him business. But what's phenomenal is what's happened. Fast forward, it's got to be 20, probably going on 25 years that we've known each other.
Wow.
I've just gotten one of the very best referrals I have ever gotten in Team Referral Network from him. And that was the introduction to a trainer who works with about 1,800 financial advisors across the United States.
Wow.
Okay, now that's a huge referral, because your listeners may not know, but you know that the top five categories that are in every single chapter of Team Referral Network, practically the number one is financial advisors.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can make the connection to another 1,800 financial advisors and build relationships and deliver value there, what kind of impact can that have on Team Referral Network? And this comes from a relationship that started 25 years ago.
That's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, I've been blessed to have been introduced to Wayne by you. And he is truly high integrity, very grounded, well-connected, professional. He's the real deal. He absolutely is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's your best advice for someone looking to increase their professional network in the next 12 months?
Well, I might be biased, but I think they should join an exclusive category networking group if that's the direction that they want to go in terms of building relationships and getting the right referrals. But you and I both know it's not just about joining. So let's just assume that they feel like part of their marketing plan is to join an exclusive category networking group like Team Referral Network.
Mm-hmm.
Joining is awesome. It puts you onto the playground. It puts you onto the field, so to speak. Okay. But what you do with it from there really determines your success from this. And so there are some very important elements that people need to do. And this could really go for any networking activities that they're doing out there where they're making that initial connection. But in team, you know, it's about building the right relationships, and it's really nurturing those relationships. A lot of people think that joining's enough. They're going to join a group. They're going to come every week to the meeting, and then referrals are all of a sudden going to rain down into their lap, and they will have all of this opportunity. And when it doesn't happen that way, and those were your expectations going in, they'll quit, they'll walk away, and they'll throw their hands up in the air and say, this networking thing doesn't work. And so it's important to understand when you join something that there's more things that need to be done. Building relationships is the key. And when people build rapport first and then a relationship with you, and they develop knowing you, liking you, and trusting you, then you will be worthy of their referral opportunities that they have in their life. And there's no shortcut to that. You know, people expect referrals, but people should only give referrals to people they truly know, like, and trust. That's the only way this is really going to work. And for me, it's always been the mother test, you know, and I've already talked about my mom, but when I say to me, I'd look at this person and say, mentally, would I refer this person to my mother? Your listeners, it might be, would I refer this person to my best friend? Would I refer this person to my best client? Would I refer this person to my spouse? Okay. Whatever your test or measurement is, okay, we've got to show up in that space and be worthy of that referral. And so, you know, back to that whole doing the do, it's the same thing in a relationship like this, where you hope to be able to grow your business by referral. And certainly you have to look at it as being reciprocal and mutually beneficial. So you've got to be prepared to give as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think you ever look like a bigger rock star than when you refer somebody to a special person in your life, an important person in your life, and that person does a great job for them. Who's the rock star here? You know, you are, because you made that referral.
Yeah.
And then conversely, if you make a referral and it's not the right person and they take this opportunity, okay, who looks like the goat then at that point?
Right.
Okay? I mean, you know, so it's powerful. I don't think people understand how powerful this way of doing business is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it all starts with building the relationships. And so you've got to work on that first in order to be able to be successful in this type of thing, and really successful in life, in my humble opinion.
You know, I've always related networking memberships to team very similar to memberships at the gym.
Yes.
If you don't go, it's not going to work. And if you just go and hang out by the water cooler and the mirror, it's not going to work. You have to do the work, put in the effort, show up continually, add value to get value.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. It is. You can't expect to get the results of being healthier, leaner, and stronger if you're just sitting there looking at the equipment kind of showing up.
Or worse yet, not going.
Right, exactly. Out of sight is definitely out of mind. So, yep.
Can you talk about how credibility and positioning has helped you to be able to make an impression on new contacts and potential clients?
Well, credibility to me is kind of equating with integrity. Okay. So, I mean, really, in order to be a credible person, you've got to do what you say you're going to do. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so increasing one's credibility is putting yourself out there, but making sure, again, that you do what you're supposed to be doing on that side of things. I think with great credibility comes great responsibility.
Agreed.
You know, so you really have to look at where you want your place in this world to be. And when you do what you say you're going to do, you're a person of character, you're a person of integrity, you gain this credibility for a team. We'll call it being referable. You know, when you achieve that level of being referable, okay, then obviously people trust you enough and then do and act accordingly. So for me, you know, I've been able to leverage credibility into a place in life where I'm surrounded by some of the most awesome people in the world. Yep. I wouldn't be doing this podcast with you as one of those awesome humans that are in my world if I didn't have credibility, if I hadn't positioned myself in a place where I was worthy of being able to be on your podcast. And I've been fortunate enough to be on many platforms, wonderful platforms with wonderful people. And it takes taking your credibility seriously. It's earned. It's not given to you. It is earned.
What is your top networking tip? You know, we hear so many times people say networking's not working, and we know it's because they're showing up, doing it wrong, or they're not working it. So what is your top networking tip that you can give to someone?
I 100% believe that the secret to endless referrals is building the right relationships with power partners. Okay. So let's explain that a little bit for your listeners. Okay. So power partners are people who share your same client or customer or member or patient, whatever you call your person. It is businesses that share that same, and I'll use client in this particular case, share your client. And when you build meaningful power partner relationships that are based on mutual beneficial opportunity, okay, you're willing to give as much as you are willing to ask them to be giving to you, okay, you create something that's so powerful with a group of people that there's truly no end to that relationship. And I can paint the picture and tell a story to your listeners of my husband. I don't know about you, Stacey. Oh, yes, actually, I do know the answer to this question. I married my opposite. Maybe you did too. Okay,
Maybe I did.
I married my opposite. So that means Mike does not like to network. Mike does not like to be out there with groups of people. Mike does not like sharing about himself and his business. Mike would no more do a podcast like this than, you know, go, fly to the moon. Okay. So what's fascinating about it, though, is that Mike created important power partner relationships very early on in our company's beginnings. Okay, and he discovered that if he built relationships with people who shared his same type of client, and they were good at what they did, and he was good at what he did, and he referred them business, and they referred him business, and everybody's businesses would grow. And I mean, I'm telling you, this is a very, you know, uncomplicated man. Mike is a hardworking contractor, totally old school, who does beautiful work. And he surrounded himself with 7 or 8 other contractors or home service related people who were the same. Birds of a feather flock together. And he nurtured those relationships, even though if I used the word nurture to him, he would be, what the hell are you talking about? Okay.
Yeah.
But I can tell what he was doing. He doesn't understand the science of it. And I'm here to tell you, okay, that that's exactly what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He took care of them. He sent them meaningful business referrals. He spoke highly of them. He helped them when they needed help with things. And everybody did this all together, vice versa. And to this day, a majority of those business owners are still doing what they were doing all those years ago, and they're still referring each other business after all of these years. And when I share the story, wow, when I speak, I talk about the millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of referrals. And I mean, I'm not saying millions and millions of dollars to be impress you here. It's mm-hmm. true. It is absolutely mm-hmm. fact. Okay. 5 out of the original 8 are still in business today, still referring each other business.
Wow.
And so the secret to this is to develop meaningful and the right power partner relationships and be an equal contributor. If everybody did the same thing together, made the same promises, connections, had the same character and integrity, built the same relationships, willingness to put the referrals in play and really set their power partners up for being successful with their referrals. If they put that all into motion, you cannot fail.
I agree.
Okay. And so it's, but again, I think our common theme in going back through this whole thing is doing the do. You've got to invest in these relationships. You've got to bring the value to these relationships. And you sometimes, more often than not, have to do it first before you're getting anything in return.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be the person who creates this. They may not understand it yet, and you're going to have to bring them along. You got to be a leader in this. What? Oh my God! You know, so it's powerful and it's foolproof.
It is. What do you think that networking does as far as streamlining the sales process?
Well, if you align yourself with the right people, my God, does it make things easier? I mean, let's face it, you know, there's all kinds of sales tactics out there, and I'm not putting down any one of them. I think people need to do whatever they, you know, I mean, I know people in my life who love to pick up the phone and just call and call and call and call. And
that's a grind.
Yeah. I couldn't do that personally. I don't handle rejection that well. And so, you know, there's other people who sit back on their computers and they'll email or spam, okay, people, you know, okay, you know, if that's the way you want to do it. But I mean, let's face it, if you align yourself with the right people, okay, and you build the right relationships, you have just made your life infinitely easier and better and the potential stronger. Again, in my opinion.
There was an article written in New York Times that it was a few years ago. You had mentioned statistics. What was it? 78% of the people that were referred?
65% of all new business came from referrals.
Yeah.
This was a New York Times. It was done in 2016, and it was tens of thousands of small business owners that were surveyed through this New York Times survey. And they were asked where their business came from. And what I find always interesting, when I speak on that statistic about 65% of new business coming from referrals, I mean, just think about it, because we already know the power of retention when you retain people, okay? Mm-hmm. But 65% of new business comes from referrals. When I speak on that, almost always in the room is a Fortune 500, Fortune 250, a Fortune 100 company. And we'll have a Farmers Insurance agent in there, a New York Life person in the audience, Keller Williams real estate agent. You know, they are associated with companies that have a almost endless marketing and advertising budget, right?
Yep.
Okay. And so, and we know that marketing and advertising, in paid marketing and advertising, is different than the building relationships and referrals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you ask in that room with those people who are representatives of these Fortune 500 and higher companies, what percentage of their new business comes from referrals?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what they say?
I'd venture to guess probably 90 to 100%.
They are. They're definitely over 65%. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is an affiliate of a company, a representative of a company that has millions, if not billions of dollars that they throw at advertising and marketing. And even in those companies, the success comes down to referrals. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if that doesn't tell the solopreneur right now listening to this podcast that they need to be out there building the right relationships in order to get referrals to grow their business, I don't know what else could.
You know? I know. Look, you're preaching to the choir here. I've built 2 7-figure businesses 100% through word of mouth marketing and 4 6-figure businesses. Trust there me when I tell it. You, I know this works.
Yep.
What do you wish you had known when you first started out?
Okay, we're going to have a pause here. What do I wish? There's so much I could have. There were so many mistakes made.
What's the biggest mistake you made then?
Oh, Lord, Stacy. Okay.
Do we need a drink for this one?
Yeah, I know. Really, we should be doing this at cocktail hour, okay? Instead, we're doing it in the middle of the day. Okay. Honestly, I trust people too much. And so that's a... Look, it's part of me. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's part of me. All right. But it has definitely caused me grief in my professional life, in my business, in my company, you know, some costly financial mistakes, emotional investment in people who turned out not to be who I thought they were. Okay. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, I don't want to say, gosh, Kelly, be less trusting, be more, you know, jaded about this. I guess learning to be more cautious, maybe, you know, would be one way to do that. I'm not sure, because I think probably today I still stand here as almost the same person in terms of trusting people. But I can say that there's a cloud now that may hang over me that I pay attention to more. And I certainly have learned to really dig deep in terms of my gut check on people, because I have a tendency to believe what people say. You tell me you're going to do something, guess what? I believe it, okay? And it isn't until you turn around and not do it that I don't realize that you're either lying to me or we're very mistaken, okay? And so, it can create difficult situations in life.
Maybe it's not a cloud. Maybe it's just a filter that you've inserted over yourself.
Perhaps. And that's important, you know? So I think that lesson sooner would have been helpful. It would have definitely been helpful. Mm-hmm.
So what are the 3 most important skills that people need to develop in order to run a successful business, in your opinion?
Leadership.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You've got to be a leader. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got to be a person of your word.
Integrity.
Mm-hmm. Got to be a person of your word. Integrity. Definitely. And you got to stick to it. Okay. That's it. You know, it's so simple, but it's so complex. It really is. It is interesting. It's very much like what we do at Team Referral Network. It's so simple, okay? But it's not necessarily easy, okay? It's not necessarily easy.
So, you know, my show is Sell Without Selling. So I'm curious, what does selling without selling mean to you?
So I used to be afraid of the word sales, and I really kind of avoided it for a long time, okay? Yeah. Because I would always think, I'm not selling, you know? That isn't what I do. I don't sell, okay? But let's face it, we're all selling, okay? Mm-hmm. But selling without selling is something that, it's an art. I mean, it's a technique. It is something that it's a skill. You need to learn how to do it. Mm-hmm. So for me, when I wasn't selling, okay, I was educating people about what we did. Mm-hmm. Fill in the blank. If I was actually, you know, back in the day with my husband's company, I was the one who went out and did all the bidding. I would go meet the client and I would talk to them about their paint job and I would measure their house and I would discuss color selection with them. Mm-hmm. And that whole time, you know, when I was doing that, I wasn't selling in my mind. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was educating them on what we did and what we could do for them. And then the decision was entirely left up to them. Okay. Now, if I was to go back today and be a little more savvy about it, of course, I would, utilize the techniques that I've learned over the years with selling. But I still think it goes back to, you know, maybe we can take educating somebody about what it is that we do and change that to letting people know the value that we can add to their world. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's how I think you can sell without selling, is really creating the value for them in order to be able to help them achieve what it is that they're looking to do and your role in it. And your
role. I love it. I love it. So welcome to the random round. Okay.
Okay. All right.
I'm just going to ask you a couple of random questions that really have nothing to do with anything. Just kind of fun to get to know you even more. Mm-hmm. So what profession other than your own do you think it would be fun to attempt?
Well, I have long been told I should be an attorney. So I probably in my next, life would have been an attorney. Although I've spoken to many attorneys are like, no, you wouldn't. But let's just say I might have a natural gift for defending, persuading, or sharing my point of view and getting others to kind of believe that way as well.
You think you might?
Maybe a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you litigated, defended, argued at where?
I'm actually one of very few people who have ever argued a case in front of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the second highest court in the land, and that is just one step below the United States Supreme Court. I've argued a case, even though I'm not an attorney.
If you could sit on a park bench with someone, past or present, and talk to them for an hour, who would it be and why?
Now you're going to make me cry. Mm. It'd be my dad, just to be able to go back, and let him know all of this, the children, his grandchildren that he didn't know, I'd want to tell him all about him. Mm. I'd want him to know everything about the last 10, 30 years. Okay. I'd want him to know everything.
Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So what's one place online where we'll find you the most?
I wish I could say LinkedIn. I really wish I sounded super professional and I said LinkedIn, but it's actually, you could find me more on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I definitely have learned to, really not get sucked down a rabbit hole with Facebook, because you most certainly can. Mm-hmm. But I made a conscious decision with my Facebook profile, and it's a real blend of my professional life and my personal life. So you'll find stories about my kids and adventures that we've done as a family, along with, great business ideas and things that are happening, right now, posting some of the great meetings that are going on and sharing the information. You'll find my husband and I's bare feet propped up on our fire table
every Friday
with a cocktail on Friday nights, And so online, you'll find me there. I definitely have learned to spend more time making connections on LinkedIn.
Nice. Speaking of which, if our listeners wanted to connect with you, how can they do that?
Well, you definitely can find me on both Facebook and LinkedIn. Okay. Mm-hmm. One of my profiles there. Kelly with an I, Holmes, okay? And then also Team Referral Network has very active pages on both LinkedIn and on Facebook as well. So Team Referral Network on Facebook, and same thing on LinkedIn as well for the name. I would love for your listeners to feel free to friend me on Facebook, feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn, and definitely go in and follow our pages for Team Referral Network. We post some phenomenal information to help entrepreneurs grow their businesses and make the right connections there.
That's fantastic. Awesome. So in the spirit of networking, who do you know that would be a great fit for an interview for the show?
Oh, we have some good people to refer you to.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm actually going to send you a list, but I'm going to share my latest connection with you.
Yeah.
I have two connections that I think would be great to be interviewed. First one is Bill Gates, not Bill Gates, but Bill Gates. Okay, with a C, okay? And Bill is a New York Times best-selling author who really his platform is referrals, okay? Mm. Primarily works towards the professional side of things, so insurance, real estate, financial advisor, attorney, that kind of relationship, and teaching them how to build relationships with clients and other contacts and power partners. He doesn't call them that, but very, very much a shared philosophy with what we do in Team Referral Network and what
awesome.
Bill writes about. He's been in this game a long time. Great guy. I had a chance to connect with him through that great referral with the 1800 financial advisors. Mm-hmm. I also got introduced to Bill Gates from that person as well.
Nice.
Yes. And so Bill's a longtime speaker, very well known and best-selling author. Another connection and another great person that I think for you on your show is Michael Goldberg with Knockout Networking. Mm-hmm. He is a He combines his love of boxing and networking. So it's kind of round one, round two, round three, go in for the left jab, pow, you know. He's nice. A little different than my style. I'm just going to share with you. He's a little different than my style. But he is great as well, and I think he would be a good guest too. But listen, I also think that we're on the forefront of living a virtual life these days in many ways as well, and we certainly cannot argue with virtual networking that's happening around here. So Terry Lee Harrison, who's an expert in virtual networking, I think would be a good interview for you as well. So
fantastic.
So there's my three, but now you got my head thinking, because of course that's how I'm wired. So I will be sending you more as I think about this more deeply.
I look forward to all the connections and the list. So Kelly, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and for all your valuable information. And I look forward to having you back on the show again.
Great. Thank you so much. What a phenomenal opportunity to hang out here with you. And I hope I've dropped a few nuggets for your people on the podcast. I hope everybody is safe and well. Thanks so much, Stacey.
Your success is important to me. And it's also important to me to make sure these episodes are valuable for you. I would love for you to do two things right now. First, I would love for you to head over to Facebook and join our group, Sell Without Selling Community. Second, I would love to chat with you, get your feedback on the episodes, and find out any other topics that you're interested in to help make this even more powerful and helpful to you achieving the success you have always dreamed of, desired, and deserved. Head over right now to pivotpointadvantage.com/talktostacy. That's pivotpointadvantage.com/talktostacy. And let's get a 15-minute call on the schedule. I look forward to talking to you soon. Thanks.
Whether it's mastering your mindset, communication, or success, we have more ways to keep you on your journey to greatness. Be sure to visit us at pivotpointadvantage.com for exclusive online training programs, success-specific courses, and more ways to connect to Stacey directly to help you achieve the financial success you've always desired, dreamed, and deserved. That's all available on pivotpointadvantage.com.